Judges chapter 11. Jephthah is made ruler of the people of Gilead. He first pleads their cause against the Ammonites. Then, making a vow, obtains a signal victory. He performs his vow. 11:1. There was at that time Jephthah, the Gileadite, a most valiant man, and a warrior, the son of a woman that was a harlot, and his father was Gilead. 11:2. Now Gilead had a wife of whom he had sons, who, after they were grown up, thrust out Jephthah, saying, Thou canst not inherit in the house of our father, because thou art born of another mother. 11:3. Then he fled and avoided them, and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered to him needy men and robbers, and they followed him as their prince. 11:4. In those days the children of Ammon made war against Israel. 11:5. And as they pressed hard upon them, the ancients of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob to help them. 11:6. And they said to him, Come thou, and be our prince, and fight against the children of Ammon. 11:7. And he answered them, Are not you the men that hated me, and cast me out of my father's house, and now you are come to me, constrained by necessity? 11:8. And the princes of Gilead said to Jephthah, For this cause we are now come to thee, that thou mayest go with us, and fight against the children of Ammon, and behead over all the inhabitants of Gilead. 11:9. Jephthah also said to them, If you be come to me sincerely, that I should fight for you against the children of Ammon, and the Lord shall deliver them into my hand, shall I be your prince? 11:10. They answered him, The Lord, who heareth these things, he himself is mediator and witness that we will do as we have promised. 11:11. Jephthah therefore went with the princes of Gilead, and all the people made him their prince. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. 11:12. And he sent messengers to the king of the children of Ammon, to say in his name, What hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me, to waste my land? 11:13. And he answered them, Because Israel took away my land, when he came up out of Egypt, from the confines of the Arnon unto the Jabbok in the Jordan. Now, therefore, restore the same peaceably to me. 11:14. And Jephthah again sent word by them, and commanded them to say to the king of Ammon. 11:15. Thus saith Jephthah, Israel did not take away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. 11:16. But when they came up out of Egypt, he walked through the desert to the Red Sea, and came into Cades. 11:17. And he sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, Suffer me to pass through thy land. But he would not condescend to his request. He sent also to the king of Moab, who, likewise, refused to give him passage. He abode, therefore, in Cades. 11:18. And went round the land of Edom at the side, and the land of Moab, and came over against the east coast of the land of Moab, and camped on the other side of the Arnon. And he would not enter the bounds of Moab. 11:19. So Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Hesbon, and they said to him, Suffer me to pass through thy land to the river. 11:20. But he, also despising the words of Israel, suffered him not to pass through his borders, but gathering an infinite multitude, went out against him to Jesse, and made strong opposition. 11:21. And the Lord delivered him, with all his army, into the hands of Israel, and he slew him, and possessed all the land of the Amorite, the inhabitant of that country. 11:22. And all the coasts thereof from the Arnon to the Jabbok, and from the wilderness to the Jordan. 11:23. So the Lord, the God of Israel, destroyed the Amorite, his people of Israel fighting against him, and wilt thou now possess his land? 11:24. Are not those things which thy God Chemosh possesseth, due to thee by right? But what the Lord our God hath obtained by conquest, shall be our possession. Chemosh, the idol of the Moabites and Ammonites. He argues from their opinion, who thought they had a just title to the countries which they imagined they had conquered by the help of their gods. How much more then had Israel an indisputable title to the countries which God, by visible miracles, had conquered for them? 11:25. Unless, perhaps, thou art better than Balak, the son of Zephor, king of Moab, or canst shew that he strove against Israel, and fought against him. 11:26. Whereas he hath dwelt in Hesbon, and the villages thereof, and in Aroer, and its villages, and in all the cities near the Jordan, for 300 years, why have you for so long a time attempted nothing about this claim? 11:27. Therefore I do not trespass against thee, but thou wrongest me by declaring an unjust war against me. The Lord be judge, and decide this day, between Israel and the children of Ammon. 11:28. And the king of the children of Ammon would not hearken to the words of Jephthah, which he sent him by the messengers. 11:29. Therefore the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and going round Gilead, and Manasseh, and Masbeth Gilead, and passing over from thence to the children of Ammon. 11:30. He made a vow to the Lord, saying, If thou wilt deliver the children of Ammon into my hands. 11:31. Whosoever shall first come forth out of the doors of my house, and shall meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, the same will I offer a holocaust to the Lord. Whosoever, etc. Some are of opinion that the meaning of this vow of Jephthah was to consecrate to God whatsoever should first meet him, according to the condition of the thing, so as to offer it up as a holocaust, if it were such a thing as might be offered by the law, or to devote it otherwise to God, if it were not such as the law allowed to be offered in sacrifice. And therefore they think the daughter of Jephthah was not slain by her father, but only consecrated to perpetual virginity. But the common opinion followed by the generality of the holy fathers and divines is, that she was offered as a holocaust, in consequence of her father's vow, and that Jephthah did not sin, at least not mortally, neither in making, nor in keeping, his vow, since he is no ways blamed for it in Scripture, and was even inspired by God himself to make the vow, as appears from verse 29:30, in consequence of which he obtained the victory, and therefore he reasonably concluded that God, who is the master of life and death, was pleased on this occasion to dispense with his own law, and that it was a divine will he should fulfill his vow. 11:32. And Jephthah passed over to the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. 11:33. And he smote them from Aroer till you come to Meneth, 20 cities, and as far as Abel, which is set with vineyards, with a very great slaughter. And the children of Ammon were humbled by the children of Israel. 11:34. And when Jephthah returned into Masbah, to his house, his only daughter met him with timbrels and with dances, for he had no other children. 11:35. And when he saw her, he rent his garments, and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast deceived me, and thou thyself art deceived, for I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I can do no other thing. 11:36. And she answered him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth to the Lord, do unto me whatsoever thou hast promised, since the victory hath been granted to thee, and revenge of thy enemies. 11:37. And she said to her father, Grant me only this, which I desire. Let me go, that I may go about the mountains for 2 months, and may bewail my virginity with my companions. Bewail my virginity. The bearing of children was much coveted under the Old Testament, when women might hope that from some child of theirs, the Savior of the world might one day spring. But under the New Testament virginity is preferred. 1 Cor 7.35. 11:38. And he answered her, Go. And he sent her away for 2 months. And when she was gone with her comrades and companions, she mourned her virginity in the mountains. 11:39. And the 2 months being expired, she returned to her father, and he did to her as he had vowed, and she knew no man. From thence came a fashion in Israel, and the custom has been kept. 11:40. That, from year to year, the daughters of Israel assemble together, and lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite, for 4 days. Judges chapter 12. The Ephraimites quarrel with Jephthah. 42,000 of them are slain. Abson, Ahilan, and Abdon are judges. 12:1. But behold, there arose a sedition in Ephraim. And passing towards the north, they said to Jephthah, When thou wentest to fight against the children of Ammon, why wouldst thou not call us, that we might go with thee? Therefore we will burn thy house. 12:2. And he answered them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and I call you to assist me, and you would not do it. 12:3. And when I saw this, I put my life in my own hands, and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hands. What have I deserved, that you should rise up to fight against me? 12:4. Then calling to him all the men of Gilead, he fought against Ephraim. And the men of Gilead defeated Ephraim, because he had said, Gilead is a fugitive of Ephraim, and dwelleth in the midst of Ephraim and Manasseh. 12:5. And the Gileadites secured the fords of the Jordan, by which Ephraim was to return. And when any one of the number of Ephraim came thither in the flight, and said, I beseech you let me pass, the Gileadites said to him, Art thou not an Ephraimite? If he said, I am not. 12:6. They asked him, "Say then, Sibboleth," which is interpreted, "an ear of corn." But he answered, "Sibboleth," not being able to express an ear of corn by the same letter. Then presently they took him and killed him in the very passage of the Jordan. And there fell at that time of Ephraim 42,000. 12:7. And Jephthi, the Gileadite, judged Israel 6 years. And he died, and was buried in his city of Gilead. 12:8. After him Abasin of Bethlehem judged Israel. 12:9. He had 30 sons, and as many daughters, whom he sent abroad, and gave to husbands, and took wives for his sons, of the same number, bringing them into his house. And he judged Israel 7 years. 12:10. And he died, and was buried in Bethlehem. 12:11. To him succeeded Ahilan, a Zebulunite. And he judged Israel 10 years. 12:12. And he died, and was buried in Zebulun. 12:13. After him, Abdon, the son of Elel, the Pharathonite, judged Israel. 12:14. And he had 40 sons, and of them 30 grandsons, mounted upon 70 ass colts, and he judged Israel 8 years. 12:15. And he died, and was buried in Pharathon, in the land of Ephraim, in the mount of Amalish. Judges chapter 13. The people fall again into idolatry and are afflicted by the Philistines. An angel foretelleth the birth of Samson. 13:1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of thee, Lord, and he delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. 13:2. Now there was a certain man of Zerah, and of the race of Dan, whose name was Manu, and his wife was barren. 13:3. And an angel of the Lord appeared to her, and said, Thou art barren and without children, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. 13:4. Now therefore beware, and drink no wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. 13:5. Because thou shalt conceive, and bear a son, and no razor shall touch his head. For he shall be a Nazarite of God, from his infancy, and from his mother's womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. 13:6. And when she was come to her husband, she said to him, A man of God came to me, having the countenance of an angel, very awful. And when I asked him whence he came, and by what name he was called, he would not tell me. 13:7. But he answered thus, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Beware thou drink no wine, nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite of God from his infancy, from his mother's womb until the day of his death. 13:8. Then Manu prayed to the Lord, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord, that the man of God, whom thou didst send, may come again, and teach us what we ought to do concerning the child that shall be born. 13:9. And the Lord heard the prayer of Manu, and the angel of the Lord appeared again to his wife, as she was sitting in the field. But Manu her husband was not with her, and when she saw the angel, 13:10, she made haste, and ran to her husband, and told him, saying, Behold, the man hath appeared to me, whom I saw before. 13:11. He rose up, and followed his wife, and coming to the man, said to him, Art thou he that spoke to the women? And he answered, I am. 13:12. And Manu said to him, When thy word shall come to pass, what wilt thou that the child should do? Or from what shall he keep himself? 13:13. And the angel of the Lord said to Manu, From all the things I have spoken of to thy wife, let her refrain herself. Let her refrain, etc. By the Latin text it is not clear whether this abstinence was prescribed to the mother, or to the child. But the Hebrew, in which the verbs relating thereto are of the feminine gender, determineth it to the mother. But then the child also was to refrain from the like things, because he was to be from his infancy a Nazarite of God, verse 5, that is, one set aside, in a particular manner, and consecrated to God. Now the Nazarites by the law were to abstain from all these things. 13:14. And let her eat nothing that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. And whatsoever I have commanded her, let her fulfill and observe. 13:15. And Manu said to the angel of the Lord, I beseech thee to consent to my request, and let us dress a kid for thee. 13:16. And the angel answered him, If thou press me I will not eat of thy bread, but if thou wilt offer a holocaust, offer it to the Lord. And Manu knew not it was the angel of the Lord. 13:17. And he said to him, What is thy name, that, If thy word shall come to pass, we may honor thee. 13:18. And he answered him, Why askest thou my name, which is wonderful? 13:19. Then Manu took a kid of the flocks, and the libations, and put them upon a rock, offering to the Lord, who doth wonderful things. And he and his wife looked on. 13:20. And when the flame from the altar went up towards heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended also in the same. And when Manu and his wife saw this, they fell flat on the ground. 13:21. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them no more. And forthwith Manu understood that it was an angel of the Lord. 13:22. And he said to his wife, We shall certainly die, because we have seen God. Seen God, not in his own person, but in the person of his messenger. The Israelites, in those days, imagined they should die if they saw an angel, taking occasion perhaps from those words spoken by the Lord to Moses, Acts 33.20, No man shall see me alive. But the event demonstrated that it was but a groundless imagination. 13:23. And his wife answered him, If the Lord had a mind to kill us, he would not have received a holocaust and libations at our hands. Neither would he have shewed us all these things, nor have told us the things that are to come. 13:24. And she bore a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. 13:25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to be with him in the camp of Dan, between Sarah and Eshtaol. Judges chapter 14. Samson desireth the wife of the Philistines. He killeth a lion, in whose mouth he afterwards findeth honey. His marriage feast, and riddle, which is discovered by his wife. He killeth, and strippeth 30 Philistines. His wife taketh another man. 14:1. Then Samson went down to Thamnathah, and seeing there a woman of the daughters of the Philistines. 14:2. He came up, and told his father and his mother, saying, I saw a woman in Thamnathah of the daughters of the Philistines. I beseech you, take her for me to wife. 14:3. And his father and mother said to him, Is there no woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou wilt take a wife of the Philistines, who are uncircumcised? And Samson said to his father, Take this woman for me, for she hath pleased my eyes. Is there no woman among the daughters of thy brethren? This shews his parents were at first against his marriage with a Gentile, it being prohibited, Judges 7.3. But afterwards they consented, knowing it to be by the dispensation of God, which otherwise would have been sinful in acting contrary to the law. 14:4. Now his parents knew not that the thing was done by the Lord, and that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. 14:5. Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Thamnathah. And when they were come to the vineyards of the town, behold a young lion met him, raging and roaring. 14:6. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and he tore the lion as he would have torn a kid in pieces, having nothing at all in his hand. And he would not tell this to his father and mother. 14:7. And he went down, and spoke to the woman that had pleased his eyes. 14:8. And after some days, returning to take her, he went aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold there was a swarm of bees in the mouth of the lion, and a honeycomb. 14:9. And when he had taken it in his hands, he went on eating. And coming to his father and mother, he gave them of it, and they ate. But he would not tell them that he had taken the honey from the body of the lion. 14:10. So his father went down to the women, and made a feast for his son Samson. For so the young men used to do. 14:11. And when the citizens of that place saw him, they brought him 30 companions to be with him. 14:12. And Samson said to them, I will propose to you a riddle, which if you declare unto me within the 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 shirts, and as many coats. 14:13. But if you shall not be able to declare it, you shall give me 30 shirts and the same number of coats. They answered him, Put forth the riddle, that we may hear it. 14:14. And he said to them, Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not for 3 days expound the riddle. 14:15. And when the 7th day came, they said to the wife of Samson, Soothe thy husband, and persuade him to tell thee what the riddle meaneth. But if thou wilt not do it, we will burn thee, and thy father's house. Have you called us to the wedding on purpose to strip us? 14:16. So she wept before Samson and complained, saying, Thou hatest me, and dost not love me. Therefore thou wilt not expound to me the riddle, which thou hast proposed to the sons of my people. But he answered, I would not tell it to my father and mother. And how can I tell it to thee? 14:17. So she wept before him the 7 days of the feast. And, at length, on the 7th day, as she was troublesome to him, he expounded it. And she immediately told her countrymen. 14:18. And they, on the 7th day before the sun went down, said to him, What is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, If you had not ploughed with my heifer, you had not found out my riddle. 14:19. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ascalon, and slew there 30 men whose garments he took away, and gave to them that had declared the riddle. And being exceeding angry, he went up to his father's house. 14:20. But his wife took one of his friends in bridal companions for her husband. Judges chapter 15. Samson denied his wife. He burns the corn of the Philistines, and kills many of them. 15:1. And the while after, when the days of the wheat harvest were at hand, Samson came, meaning to visit his wife, and he brought her a kid of the flock. And when he would have gone into her chamber, as usual, her father would not suffer him, saying, 15:2. I thought thou hadst hated her, and therefore I gave her to thy friend. But she hath a sister, who is younger and fairer than she, take her to wife instead of her. 15:3. And Samson answered him, From this day I shall be blameless in what I do against the Philistines, for I will do you evils. 15:4. And he went and caught 300 foxes, and coupled them tail to tail, and fastened torches between the tails. Foxes, being just of the people, he might have many to assist him to catch with nets or otherwise a number of these animals, of which there were great numbers in the country. 15:5. And setting them on fire he let the foxes go, that they might run about hither and thither. And they presently went into the standing corn of the Philistines, which being set on fire, both the corn that was already carried together, and that which was yet standing, was all burned, insomuch that the flame consumed also the vineyards and the olive yards. 15:6. Then the Philistines said, Who hath done this thing? And it was answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Amnonite, because he took away his wife, and gave her to another, hath done these things. And the Philistines went up and burnt both the woman and her father. 15:7. But Samson said to them, Although you have done this, yet will I be revenged of you, and then I will be quiet. 15:8. And he made a great slaughter of them, so that in astonishment they laid the calf of the leg upon the thigh. And going down he dwelt in a cavern of the rock Atam. 15:9. Then the Philistines going up into the land of Judah, camped in the place which afterwards was called Lachi, that is, the Jabbok, where their army was spread abroad. 15:10. And the men of the tribe of Judah said to them, Why are you come up against us? They answered, We are come to bind Samson, and to pay him for what he hath done against us. 15:11. Wherefore 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cave of the rock Atam, and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines rule over us? Why wouldst thou do thus? And he said to them, As they did to me, so have I done to them. 15:12. And they said to him, We are come to bind thee, and to deliver thee into the hands of the Philistines. And Samson said to them, Swear to me, and promise me that you will not kill me. 15:13. They said, We will not kill thee, but we will deliver thee up bound. And they bound him with 2 new cords, and brought him from the rock Atam. 15:14. Now when he was come to the place of the Jabbok, and the Philistines shouting went to meet him, the Spirit of the Lord came strongly upon him. And as flax is wont to be consumed at the approach of fire, so the bands with which he was bound were broken and loosed. 15:15. And finding a Jabbok, even the Jabbok of an ass, which lay there, catching it up, he slew therewith 1,000 men. 15:16. And he said, With the Jabbok of an ass, with the jaw of the colt of asses, I have destroyed them, and have slain 1,000 men. 15:17. And when he had ended these words, singing, he threw the Jabbok out of his hand, and called the name of that place Ramath Lehi, which is interpreted the lifting up of the Jabbok. 15:18. And being very thirsty, he cried to the Lord, and said, Thou hast given this very great deliverance and victory into the hand of thy servant. And behold, I die for thirst, and shall fall into the hands of the uncircumcised. 15:19. Then the Lord opened a great tooth in the jaw of the ass, and waters issued out of it. And when he had drunk them, he refreshed his spirit, and recovered his strength. Therefore the name of that place was called the spring of him that invoked from the jaw 1, until this present day. 15:20. And he judged Israel, in the days of the Philistines, 20 years. Judges chapter 16. Samson is deluded by Delilah, and falls into the hands of the Philistines. His death. 16:1. He went also into Gaza, and saw there a woman, Harlow, and went in unto her. 16:2. And when the Philistines had heard this, and it was noised about among them, that Samson was come into the city, they surrounded him, setting guards at the gate of the city, and watching there all the night in silence, that in the morning they might kill him as he went out. 16:3. But Samson slept till midnight, and then rising, he took both the doors of the gate, with the posts thereof and the bolts, and laying them on his shoulders, carried them up to the top of the hill, which looketh towards Hebron. 16:4. After this he loved a woman, who dwelt in the valley of Sorek, and she was called Delilah. Some are of opinion she was married to Samson, others that she was his Harlow. If the latter opinion be true, we cannot wonder that, in punishment of his lust, the Lord delivered him up, by her means, into the hands of his enemies. However, if he was guilty, it is not to be doubted but that under his afflictions he heartily repented and returned to God, and so obtained forgiveness of his sins. 16:5. And the princes of the Philistines came to her, and said, Deceive him, and learn of him wherein his great strength lieth, and how we may be able to overcome him, to bind and afflict him. Which if thou shalt do, we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. 16:6. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell thee, I beseech thee, wherein thy greatest strength lieth, and what it is, wherewith if thou wert bound, thou couldst not break loose. 16:7. And Samson answered her, If I shall be bound with 7 cords, made of sinews not yet dry, but still moist, I shall be weak like other men. 16:8. And the princes of the Philistines brought unto her 7 cords, such as he spoke of, with which she bound him. 16:9. Men lying privately in wait with her, and in the chamber, expecting the event of the thing, and she cried out to him, The Philistines are upon thee, Samson. And he broke the bands, as a man would break a thread of tow twined with spittle, when it smelleth the fire. So it was not known wherein his strength lay. 16:10. And Delilah said to him, Behold, thou hast mocked me, and hast told me a false thing. But now at least tell me wherewith thou mayest be bound. 16:11. And he answered her, If I shall be bound with new ropes, that were never in work, I shall be weak and like other men. 16:12. Delilah bound him again with these, and cried out, The Philistines are upon thee, Samson, there being an ambush prepared for him in the chamber. But he broke the bands like threads of webs. 16:13. And Delilah said to him again, How long dost thou deceive me, and tell me lies? Shew me wherewith thou mayest be bound. And Samson answered her, If thou plaitest the 7 locks of my head with lace, and tying them round about a nail, fastenest it in the ground, I shall be weak. 16:14. And when Delilah had done this, she said to him, The Philistines are upon thee, Samson. And awaking out of his sleep, he drew out the nail with the hairs and the lace. 16:15. And Delilah said to him, How dost thou say thou lovest me, when thy mind is not with me? Thou hast told me lies these 3 times, and wouldst not tell me wherein thy greatest strength lieth. 16:16. And when she pressed him much, and continually hung upon him for many days, giving him no time to rest, his soul fainted away, and was wearied even unto death. 16:17. Then opening the truth of the thing, he said to her, The razor hath never come upon my head, for I am a Nazarite, that is to say, consecrated to God from my mother's womb. If my head be shaven, my strength shall depart from me, and I shall become weak, and shall be like other men. 16:18. Then seeing that he had discovered to her all his mind, she sent to the princes of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once more, for now he hath opened his heart to me. And they went up, taking with them the money which they had promised. 16:19. But she made him sleep upon her knees, and lay his head in her bosom. And she called a barber and shaved his 7 locks, and began to drive him away, and thrust him from her. For immediately his strength departed from him. 16:20. And she said, The Philistines are upon thee, Samson. And awaking from sleep, he said in his mind, I will go out as I did before, and shake myself, not knowing that the Lord was departed from him. 16:21. Then the Philistines seized upon him, and forthwith pulled out his eyes, and led him bound in chains to Gaza, and shutting him up in prison made him grind. 16:22. And now his hair began to grow again. 16:23. And the princes of the Philistines assembled together, to offer great sacrifices to Dagon their god, and to make merry, saying, Our God hath delivered our enemy Samson into our hands. 16:24. And the people also seeing this, praised their God, and said the same. Our God hath delivered our adversary into our hands, him that destroyed our country, and killed very many. 16:25. And rejoicing in their feasts, when they had now taken their good cheer, they commanded that Samson should be called, and should play before them. And being brought out of prison, he played before them. And they made him stand between two pillars. 16:26. And he said to the lad that guided his steps, Suffer me to touch the pillars which support the whole house, and let me lean upon them, and rest a little. 16:27. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the princes of the Philistines were there. Moreover, about 3,000 persons of both sexes, from the roof in the higher part of the house, were beholding Samson's play. 16:28. But he called upon the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, and restore to me now my former strength, O my God, that I may revenge myself on my enemies, and for the loss of my two eyes I may take one revenge. Revenge myself. This desire of revenge was out of zeal for justice against the enemies of God and his people, and not out of private rancor and malice of heart. 16:29. And laying hold on both the pillars on which the house rested, and holding the one with his right hand, and the other with his left. 16:30. He said, Let me die with the Philistines. And when he had strongly shook the pillars, the house fell upon all the princes, and the rest of the multitude, that was there. And he killed many more at his death, than he had killed before in his life. Let me die. Literally, let my soul die. Samson did not sin on this occasion, though he was indirectly the cause of his own death. Because he was moved to what he did, by a particular inspiration of God, who also concurred with him by a miracle, in restoring his strength upon the spot, in consequence of his prayer. Samson, by dying in this manner, was a figure of Christ, who by his death overcame all his enemies. 16:31. And his brethren and all his kindred, going down, took his body, and buried it between Sarah and Eshbaal, in the burying place of his father Manu. And he judged Israel 20 years. Judges chapter 17. The history of the idol of Micah, and the young Levite. 17:1. There was at that time a man of Mount Ephraim, whose name was Micah. 17:2. Who said to his mother, The 1,100 pieces of silver, which thou hadst put aside for thyself, and concerning which thou didst swear in my hearing, behold I have, and they are with me. And she said to him, Blessed be my son by the Lord. 17:3. So he restored them to his mother, who said to him, I have consecrated and vowed this silver to the Lord, that my son may receive it at my hand, and make it graven in the molten God. So now I deliver it to thee. 17:4. And he restored them to his mother. And she took 200 pieces of silver and gave them to the silversmith, to make of them a graven in the molten God, which was in the house of Micah. 17:5. And he separated also therein a little temple for the God, and made an ephod, and theraphim, that is to say, a priestly garment, and idols. And he filled the hand of one of his sons, and he became his priest. Filled the hand, that is, appointed and consecrated him to the priestly office. 17:6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every one did that which seemed right to himself. 17:7. There was also another young man of Bethlehem Judah, of the kindred thereof, and he was a Levite, and dwelt there. 17:8. Now he went out from the city of Bethlehem, and desired to sojourn wheresoever he should find it convenient for him. And when he was come to Mount Ephraim, as he was on his journey, and had turned aside a little into the house of Micah. 17:9. He was asked by him whence he came. And he answered, I am a Levite of Bethlehem Judah, and I am going to dwell where I can, and where I shall find a place to my advantage. 17:10. And Micah said, Stay with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee every year 10 pieces of silver, and a double suit of apparel, and thy victuals. 17:11. He was content, and abode with the man, and was unto him as one of his sons. 17:12. And Micah filled his hand, and had the young man with him for his priest, saying. 17:13. Now I know God will do me good, since I have a priest of the race of the Levites. Judges chapter 18. The expedition of the men of Dan against Laban. In their way they robbed Micah of his priest and his gods. 18:1. In those days there was no king in Israel, and the tribe of Dan sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto the day they had not received their lot among the other tribes. Not received, etc. They had their portions assigned them. Joseph 19:40. But, through their own sloth, possessed as yet but a small part of it. See Judges 1:34. 18:2. So the children of Dan sent 5 most valiant men, of their stock and family, from Sarah and Esthbaal, to spy out the land, and to view it diligently. And they said to them, Go, and view the land. They went on their way, and when they came to Mount Ephraim, they went into the house of Micah, and rested there. 18:3. And knowing the voice of the young man the Levite, and lodging with him, they said to him, Who brought thee hither? What dost thou here? Why wouldst thou come hither? 18:4. He answered them, Micah hath done such and such things for me, and hath hired me to be his priest. 18:5. Then they desired him to consult the Lord, that they might know whether their journey should be prosperous, and the thing should have effect. 18:6. He answered them, Go in peace. The Lord looketh on your way, and the journey that you go. 18:7. So the 5 men going on came to Lai, and they saw how the people dwelt therein without any fear, according to the custom of the Sidonians, secure and easy, having no man at all to oppose them, being very rich, and living separated, at a distance from Sidon and from all men. 18:8. And they returned to their brethren in Sarah and Esthbaal, who asked them what they had done. To whom they answered, 18:9. Arise, and let us go up to them. For we have seen the land which is exceeding rich and fruitful. Neglect not, lose no time. Let us go and possess it, there will be no difficulty. 18:10. We shall come to a people that is secure, into a spacious country, and the Lord will deliver the place to us, in which there is no want of anything that groweth on the earth. 18:11. There went therefore the kindred of Dan, to wit, from Sarah and Esthbaal, 600 men, furnished with arms for war. 18:12. And going up they lodged in Kiriath-jearim of Judah, which place from that time is called the camp of Dan, and is behind Kiriath-jearim. 18:13. From thence they passed into Mount Ephraim, and when they were come to the house of Micah, 18:14. The 5 men, that before had been sent to view the land of Lai, said to the rest of their brethren, You know that in these houses there is an ephod and theraphim, and a graven and a molten god. See what you are pleased to do. 18:15. And when they had turned a little aside, they went into the house of the young man the Levite, who was in the house of Micah, and they saluted him with words of peace. 18:16. And the 600 men stood before the door, appointed with their arms. 18:17. But they that were gone into the house of the young man, went about to take away the graven god, and the ephod, and the theraphim, and the molten god, and the priest stood before the door, the 600 valiant men waiting not far off. 18:18. So they that were gone and took away the graven thing, the ephod, and the idols, and the molten god, and the priest said to them, What are you doing? 18:19. And they said to him, Hold thy peace, and put thy finger on thy mouth, and come with us, that we may have thee for a father, and a priest. Whether is better for thee, to be a priest in the house of one man, or in a tribe and family in Israel? 18:20. When he heard this, he agreed to their words, and took the ephod, and the idols, and the graven god, and departed with them. 18:21. And when they were going forward, and had put before them the children and the cattle, and all that was valuable. 18:22. And were now at a distance from the house of Micah, the men that dwelt in the houses of Micah gathering together followed them. 18:23. And began to shout out after them. They looked back, and said to Micah, What aileth thee? Why dost thou cry? 18:24. And he answered, You have taken away my gods which I have made me, and the priest, and all that I have, and do you say, What aileth thee? 18:25. And the children of Dan said to him, See now say no more to us, lest men in rage come upon thee, and thou perish with all thy house. 18:26. And so they went on the journey they had begun. But Micah, seeing that they were stronger than he, returned to his house. 18:27. And the 600 men took the priest, and the things we spoke of before, and came to Lai, to a people that was quiet and secure, and smote them with the edge of the sword. And the city they burnt with fire. 18:28. There being no man at all who brought them any succor, because they dwelt far from Sidon, and had no society or business with any man. And the city was in the land of Rohab, and they rebuilt it, and dwelt therein. 18:29. Calling the name of the city Dan, after the name of their father, who was the son of Israel, which before was called Lain. 18:30. And they set up to themselves the graven idol, and Jonathan the son of Gersam, the son of Mophis, he and his sons were priests in the tribe of Dan, until the day of their captivity. 18:31. And the idol of Micah remained with them all the time that the house of God was in Silo. In those days there was no king in Israel. Judges chapter 19. A Levite bringing home his wife is lodged by an old man at Gaba in the tribe of Benjamin. His wife is there abused by wicked men, and in the morning found dead. Her husband cutteth her body in pieces, and sendeth to every tribe of Israel, requiring them to revenge the wicked fact. 19:1. There was a certain Levite, who dwelt on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took a wife of Bethlehem Judah. 19:2. And she left him, and returned to her father's house in Bethlehem, and abode with him 4 months. 19:3. And her husband followed her, willing to be reconciled with her, and to speak kindly to her, and to bring her back with him, having with him a servant and 2 asses. And she received him, and brought him into her father's house. And when his father-in-law had heard this, and had seen him, he met him with joy. 19:4. And embraced the man. And the son-in-law tarried in the house of his father-in-law 3 days, eating with him and drinking familiarly. 19:5. But on the 4th day, arising early in the morning, he desired to depart. But his father-in-law kept him, and said to him, Taste first a little bread, and strengthen thy stomach, and so thou shalt depart. 19:6. And they sat down together, and ate and drank. And the father of the young woman said to his son-in-law, I beseech thee to stay here today, and let us make merry together. 19:7. But he rising up, began to be for departing. And nevertheless his father-in-law earnestly pressed him, and made him stay with him. 19:8. But when morning was come, the Levite prepared to go on his journey. And his father-in-law said to him again, I beseech thee to take a little meat, and strengthening thyself, till the day be farther advanced, afterwards thou mayest depart. And they ate together. 19:9. And the young man arose to set forward with his wife and servant. And his father-in-law spoke to him again, Consider that the day is declining, and draweth toward evening. Tarry with me today also, and spend the day in mirth, and tomorrow thou shalt depart, that thou mayest go into thy house. 19:10. His son-in-law would not consent to his words, but forthwith went forward, and came over against Jebus, which by another name is called Jerusalem, leading with him 2 asses laden, and his concubine. She was his lawful wife, but even lawful wives are frequently in Scripture called concubines. See above, chap. 8 verse 31. Verse 16. Jemini, that is, Benjamin. 19:11. And now they were come near Jebus, and the day was far spent. And the servant said to his master, Come, I beseech thee, let us turn into the city of the Jebusites, and lodge there. 19:12. His master answered him, I will not go into the town of another nation, who are not of the children of Israel, but I will pass over to Gaba. 19:13. And when I shall come thither, we will lodge there, or at least in the city of Ramah. 19:14. So they passed by Jebus, and went on their journey, and the sun went down upon them when they were by Gaba, which is in the tribe of Benjamin. 19:15. And they turned into it to lodge there. And when they were come in, they sat in the street of the city, for no land would receive them to lodge. 19:16. And behold, they saw an old man, returning out of the field and from his work in the evening, and he also was of Mount Ephraim, and dwelt as a stranger in Gabeah. But the men of that country were the children of Jemini. 19:17. And the old man lifting up his eyes, saw the man sitting with his bundles in the street of the city, and said to him, Whence comest thou? And whither goest thou? 19:18. He answered him, We came out from Bethlehem, Judah, and we are going to our home, which is on the side of Mount Ephraim, from whence we went to Bethlehem. And now we go to the house of God, and none will receive us under his roof. 19:19. We have straw and hay for provender of the asses, and bread and wine for the use of myself and of thy handmaid, and of the servant that is with me. We want nothing but lodging. 19:20. And the old man answered him, Peace be with thee. I will furnish all things that are necessary. Only I beseech thee, stay not in the street. 19:21. And he brought him into his house, and gave provender to his asses. And after they had washed their feet, he entertained them with a feast. 19:22. While they were making merry, and refreshing their bodies with meat and drink, after the labor of the journey, the men of that city, sons of Belial, that is, without yoke, came and beset the old man's house, and began to knock at the door, calling to the master of the house, and saying, Bring forth the man that came into thy house, that we may abuse him. 19:23. And the old man went out to them, and said, Do not so, my brethren, do not so wickedly, because this man is come into my lodging, and cease I pray you from this folly. 19:24. I have a maiden daughter, and this man hath a concubine. I will bring them out to you, and you may humble them, and satisfy your lust. Only, I beseech you, commit not this crime against nature on the man. 19:25. They would not be satisfied with his words, which the man seeing, brought out his concubine to them, and abandoned her to their wickedness. And when they had abused her all the night, they let her go in the morning. 19:26. But the women, at the dawning of the day, came to the door of the house, where her lord lodged, and there fell down. 19:27. And in the morning the man arose, and opened the door, that he might end the journey he had begun. And behold, his concubine lay before the door with her hands spread on the threshold. 19:28. He, thinking she was taking her rest, said to her, Arise, and let us be going. But as she made no answer, perceiving she was dead, he took her up, and laid her upon his ass, and returned to his house. 19:29. And when he was come home, he took a sword, and divided the dead body of his wife with her bones into 12 parts, and sent the pieces into all the borders of Israel. 19:30. And when everyone had seen this, they all cried out, There was never such a thing done in Israel, from the day that our fathers came up out of Egypt, until this day. Give sentence, and decree and common what ought to be done. Judges chapter 20. The Israelites warring against Benjamin are twice defeated. But in the third battle the Benjamites are all slain, saving 600 men. 20:1. Then all the children of Israel went out, and gathered together as one man, from Dan to Beersheba, with the land of Gilead, to the Lord in Massah. 20:2. And all the chiefs of the people, and all the tribes of Israel, met together in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen fit for war. 20:3. Nor were the children of Benjamin ignorant that the children of Israel were come up to Massah. And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was killed, being asked, How so great a wickedness had been committed? 20:4. Answered, I came into Gaza of Benjamin, with my wife, and there I lodged. 20:5. And behold, the men of that city, in the night beset the house wherein I was, intending to kill me, and abused my wife with an incredible fury of lust, so that at last she died. 20:6. And I took her and cut her in pieces, and sent the parts into all the borders of your possession, because there never was so heinous a crime, and so great an abomination committed in Israel. 20:7. You are all here, O children of Israel, determine what you ought to do. 20:8. And all the people standing, answered as by the voice of one man, We will not return to our tents, neither shall any one of us go into his own house. 20:9. But this we will do in common against Gibeah. 20:10. We will take 10 men of 100 out of all the tribes of Israel, and 100 out of 1,000, and 1,000 out of 10,000, to bring victuals for the army, that we may fight against Gibeah of Benjamin, and render to it for its wickedness, what it deserveth. 20:11. And all Israel were gathered together against the city, as one man, with one mind, and one counsel. 20:12. And they sent messengers to all the tribe of Benjamin, to say to them, Why hath so great an abomination been found among you? 20:13. Deliver up the men of Gaza, that have committed this heinous crime, that they may die, and the evil may be taken away out of Israel. But they would not hearken to the proposition of their brethren the children of Israel. 20:14. But out of all the cities which were of their lot, they gathered themselves together into Gabbah, to aid them, and to fight against the whole people of Israel. 20:15. And there were found of Benjamin 25,000 men that drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gabbah. 20:16. Who were 700 most valiant men, fighting with the left hand as well as with the right, and slinging stones so sure that they could hit even a hair, and not miss by the stones going on either side. 20:17. Of the men of Israel also, beside the children of Benjamin, were found 400,000 that drew swords and were prepared to fight. 20:18. And they arose and came to the house of God, that is, to Silo. And they consulted God, and said, Who shall be in our army the first to go to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord answered them, Let Judah be your leader. 20:19. And forthwith the children of Israel rising in the morning, camped by Gabbah. 20:20. And going out from thence to fight against Benjamin, began to assault the city. 20:21. And the children of Benjamin coming out of Gabbah slew of the children of Israel that day 22,000 men. 20:22. Again Israel, trusting in their strength and their number, set their army in array in the same place, where they had fought before. Trusting in their strength, the Lord suffered them to be overthrown and many of them to be slain, though their cause was just, partly in punishment of the idolatry which they exercised or tolerated in the tribe of Dan, and elsewhere, and partly because they trusted in their own strength. And therefore, though he bid them fight, he would not give them the victory, till they were thoroughly humbled and had learned to trust in him alone. 20:23. Yet so that they first went up and wept before the Lord until night, and consulted him and said, Shall I go out any more to fight against the children of Benjamin my brethren or not? And he answered them, Go up against them, and join battle. 20:24. And when the children of Israel went out the next day to fight against the children of Benjamin, 20:25, the children of Benjamin sallied forth out of the gates of Gabbah, and meeting them, made so great a slaughter of them, as to kill 18,000 men that drew the sword. 20:26. Wherefore all the children of Israel came to the house of God, and sat and wept before the Lord, and they fasted the day till the evening, and offered to him holocausts, and victims of peace offerings. 20:27. And inquired of him concerning their state. At that time the ark of the covenant of the Lord was there. 20:28. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, was over the house. So they consulted the Lord, and said, Shall we go out any more to fight against the children of Benjamin, our brethren, or shall we cease? And the Lord said to them, Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hands. 20:29. And the children of Israel set ambushes round about the city of Gabbah. 20:30. And they drew up their army against Benjamin the third time, as they had done the first and second. 20:31. And the children of Benjamin boldly issued out of the city, and seeing their enemies flee, pursued them a long way, so as to wound and kill some of them, as they had done the first and second day, whilst they fled by two highways, whereof one goeth up to Bethel and the other to Gabbah, and they slew about 30 men. 20:32. For they thought to cut them off as they did before, but they artfully feigning a flight, designed to draw them away from the city, and by their seeming to flee, to bring them to the highways aforesaid. 20:33. Then all the children of Israel rising up out of the places where they were, set their army in battle array, in the place which is called Balamra. The ambushes also, which were about the city, began by little and little to come forth. 20:34. And to march from the west side of the city, another 10,000 men chosen out of all Israel, attacked the inhabitants of the city. And the battle grew hot against the children of Benjamin. And they understood not that present death threatened them on every side. 20:35. And the Lord defeated them before the children of Israel, and they slew of them in that day 520,100, all fighting men, and that drew the sword. 20:36. But the children of Benjamin, when they saw themselves to be too weak, began to flee, which the children of Israel seeing, gave them place to flee, that they might come to the ambushes that were prepared, which they had set near the city. 20:37. And they that were in ambush arose on a sudden out of their coverts, and whilst Benjamin turned their backs to the slayers, went into the city, and smote it with the edge of the sword. 20:38. Now the children of Israel had given a sign to them, whom they had laid in ambushes, that after they had taken the city, they should make a fire, that by the smoke rising on high, they might shew that the city was taken. 20:39. And when the children of Israel saw this in the battle, for the children of Benjamin thought they fled, and pursued them vigorously, killing 30 men of their army. 20:40. And perceived, as it were, a pillar of smoke rise up from the city. And Benjamin looking back, saw that the city was taken, and that the flames ascended on high. 20:41. They that before had made as if they fled, turning their faces, stood bravely against them, which the children of Benjamin seeing, turned their backs. 20:42. And began to go towards the way of the desert, the enemy pursuing them thither also. And they that fired the city came also out to meet them. 20:43. And so it was, that they were slain on both sides by the enemies, and there was no rest of their men dying. They fell and were beaten down on the east side of the city of Gabbai. 20:44. And they that were slain in the same place, were 18,000 men, all most valiant soldiers. 20:45. And when they that remained of Benjamin saw this, they fled into the wilderness, and made towards the rock that is called Rimmon. In that flight also, as they were straggling, and going different ways, they slew of them 5,000 men. And as they went farther, they still pursued them, and slew also other 2,000. 20:46. And so it came to pass, that all that were slain of Benjamin, in divers places, were 25,000 fighting men, most valiant for war. 20:47. And there remained of all the number of Benjamin only 600 men that were able to escape, and flee to the wilderness. And they abode in the rock Rimmon 4 months. 20:48. But the children of Israel returning, put all the remains of the city to the sword, both men and beasts, and all the cities and villages of Benjamin were consumed with devouring flames.